All right, get your Bibles out. Acts chapter 27. If you have a little marker or something, stick it there. We're gonna go through the passage this morning, and then we'll jump to a couple different places, maybe. Try and have us out of here in about a half hour. So that is the plan. And, Acts chapter 27. It's been 10 weeks. 10 weeks since some of you have been in this auditorium. And I am glad you're here today. Acts chapter 27. An incredible story. An exciting story. Are we good? How about now? We good now? Awesome. Monitor working out okay out there? All right. Can you turn your phone sideways? Tell me if it works. Can we do that? Can we turn that, Jim? Can it turn vertical or no? Yeah. Someone said online that it's looking funny. You know what? They have their computer on sideways, so that'll be fine. It's a laptop. We're good. You're good. We're fine. Leave it. You're good, Jake. Acts chapter 27 is an exciting story. It's exciting. It's written a little bit differently as I read it because the author is there. It's if you look at as we go throughout this passage, you're going to see the words "we" a lot. So that's a different perspective. Usually, as we read through the book of Acts, it's a narrative. So the author can tell you firsthand, this is not what we would call a fish story. How big was the fish? Oh, you should have seen it. It's not hearsay. This is firsthand account of what happened over that period of time. So as we read the story, it's an interesting story. It's an interesting perspective because it's talking about Paul and his adventure. But Luke is right there with him. So we're going to go on an adventure this morning. As they board the ship, what waited for them were some dark and stormy times. You know, as a Christian, as we get on the gospel ship, if you will, sometimes what lies ahead are some dark and stormy times. So that's not right, and it ought to be. It's okay to go through some storms. If we look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 7, and when they had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salome. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, it says, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and look at what he says, and we'll read verse 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and proclaim it. Lord, I'm thankful for America. Lord, I'm thankful to be a citizen of this great country. God, I pray for our officials and leaders as they make decisions. But God, it's good to be your child. I'm thankful to know you and follow you. And Lord, I pray that you bless the preaching this morning and encourage us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was trying to think of the equivalent. Our main way of travel these days is not by boat, thankfully. If you know me, I don't like boats. Boats belong in the water, ships, whatever it is that you're on, Grandpa Haight. Boats, ships. I would, If I was forced to join a branch of the military, the Navy would be last. I just don't like boats. Say why? Because of things like this. Dangerous winds. Not a big fan of it. Could you imagine, though, here you are, you're about to take a trip, get on the airplane, you're up in the plane, and all of a sudden the captain comes on. This is your captain speaking. Just wanted to let you know this is going to be a disaster. We're actually probably not going to make it out with our lives. That's what was just said. That's scary. Say, oh, these are expert fishermen. These are grown men. You put a grown man out at sea where the waves are 100 miles up, you know, whatever, 100 feet up in the air. That's scary. If you've gone out on our lake and the waves get 8 feet high, when the boat goes down and you can't see it and it's going up and down, you're throwing up over the side. And that's with an engine. No engines here. That's scary. As we continue, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I'm not saying I'm Paul the apostle, but there's a great danger. We'll talk about this in a moment. But when we believe the world over what God says, over what the preacher says, over what the Word of God says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they which attained to Phoenice and were to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. The captain looks out and says, oh, the wind has died down. Let us set sail. And Paul says, we ought not to do this. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. It's bad when storms get their own names. We name storms around us hurricanes and tornadoes, and if it's significant enough, it will remember Katrina. Maria, we're at Bauman's, down in Puerto Rico. That's what's happening here. But they weren't on land. They were out in the water. That's scary stuff. So the question this morning, as we continue reading, we're going to read just three more verses, then we'll get into it. But you know, in my life and in your life, there have been storms. Storms come along. Well, say, what is a storm of life? Maybe illness? Opposition? Maybe unemployment? Maybe relationship difficulties? Not limited to these four things. Whatever it is that you've gone through. The storms of life. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a wayward time in your own life. In verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain... You understand what happened there. The wind was so strong, they couldn't do anything. They just let go and said, we are at the mercy of this storm. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Verse 17, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. They just let it go through the storm. They just let it happen. They just let it run its course. So my question this morning is this, 3 points this morning. What do you do in the storm? What to do in the storm? As we read this passage, we see some important, helpful tips. In verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest the next day, they lighted the ship. So how do you light the ship? They lit it on fire? Is that what we're talking about, Isaiah? No. What'd they do, buddy? Threw stuff overboard. They made it lighter. You know what a storm has a great way of showing you? What's unnecessary in your life. Sometimes you'll be going through that storm, and the first thing you ought to do is get rid of extra baggage. In verse 38, they do it again. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. See, if you read the passage, we'll get there. They eat the meat and throw the wheat over. Do you see that? That's good preaching right there. Toss the whole grain, multi-grain bread over. We're going to eat a quick steak for our last meal. Get rid of excess baggage. Spiritually speaking, depart from the things that keep you from finishing your course. There's things in your life that when a storm hits, you're going to say, this is not necessary. Yesterday, we had a team here cleaning, and Sarah was one of those team members, and to which I thank whoever had a hand in that. Thank you for making this place sanitary and safe for us. But while she was gone, we were doing some things at home. We were cleaning out underneath the beds. We were going through hope chests. And all of a sudden, things that have not been played with for a long time, all of a sudden were discarded. We took everything out, and we had it in the middle of the room. I said, okay, put your stuff together. Well, I don't want this anymore. All right, I'm going to throw it away. It's unnecessary. And you know what? Spiritually, in your life, there are things that ought not to be there. And a storm has a great way of us evaluating that and getting rid of excess baggage. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, our verse of the week. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And they lighted the ship. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Depart from the things that keep you from finishing your course. What's in your life that's a weight? What's in your life that's slowing you down from getting to where you ought to be? Years ago, if you can even believe this, I used to run. I used to run well. I was about 20 pounds lighter and about 5 years younger, both of which helped greatly. Ran a half marathon. As you're running, or as you're in your race, you try and get as light as possible. Light shoes, light clothing. You know what? When you're sailing through life, a storm has a great way of revealing what is excessive and unnecessary in your life. So oftentimes we look at the storm and say, oh, this is the worst time of my life. Has it been? As we look back over the last 10 weeks, I dare say it's been difficult. But has it not shown us what is important? Have we not gotten rid of things or done away with maybe some things that just were not necessary? Has there not been a lightening of the ship? Depart from the things that keep you from finishing your course. Number two, under getting rid of excess baggage, depart from those that would tempt you to go with the advice of the world. Look at verse 11 in that Acts chapter 27. I'm so used to looking at a camera. I'm not used to seeing smiling faces. Acts 27 and verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You know, there's God's way and there's the world's way. And the two do not connect. And there's going to be a tendency in our own lives to listen to what the world has to say over what God has to say. Hey, in the midst of the storm, get rid of those. Let's change that. Depart from those that would tempt you to go with the advice of the world. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13:20 says, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There's a great danger in our life. There's a great danger in our life when we listen to the ways of the world. Many a young person has been corrupted by philosophies that are contrary to the Word of God because they listen to a professor or a friend over what God says. Hey, if you're in the midst of the storm, get rid of the excess baggage. What is that? Those weights and those sins which slow you down. But number two, depart from fellowship that would tempt you to listen to the world. Hey, we're all going through storms. It's how do you navigate it? Are you going to listen to what the world has to say? Or are you going to listen to what God has to say? See, the principles of God are good under every circumstance. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, just as long as... No, there's no qualifier there. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, just as long as there's not a pandemic going on. No, that's not what it says. The principles of God are right whether you're in a storm or not. And the world is going to say, hey, you're in a difficult time. You have every right to behave wrong. Anybody watch the news last night? There's no right to do wrong. There's no right, never, ever will we see in the scriptures where God gives a pass to sin and say, man, you were just in a down way. I understand that. It is never right to do wrong. And the world will tell you and try and convince you and encourage you, depart from the faith. You're going through a tough time. You're in the midst of a storm. You have every right to be bitter? No. 1 Corinthians 15:6 says this, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Be careful what you listen to. Be careful where you go for advice. In the midst of the storm, get rid of the excess baggage. Depart from the things that keep you from finishing your course. Number two, depart from those that would tempt you to go with the advice of the world. Point number two this morning. As we go back to Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Say, what does that mean? Paul is just kind of waiting, maybe in the hull of the ship or in the bottom. Maybe he just kept quiet. But after a while, he could no longer keep quiet. I love this. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. He says this, I told you so. And have not loosed from Crete. And have gained this harm and loss. I don't think that's licensed to ever do that. I don't think he had to tell the captain that. I think the captain, as the ship is spinning around in circles, said, we should have stayed back there. But do you understand that there's going to come a point in your life where maybe you departed from the faith or you didn't listen to the advice of wise counsel and you wandered, and you know what? You're going to find yourself in some difficulty. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, he says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He says, no one's going to die, but this ship ain't making it. And there stood by me with this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He says, don't worry, we're all going to make it out alive. Wherefore, sirs, look at verse 25, please. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. The captain says, oh, this isn't going to be good. Or don't worry, we can make it. And they're going back and forth. Paul says, I believe what God says. There's never a time in our lives where we have not been able to trust God with what He has told us. Isn't it good to know that every promise God has ever made us will always come true? Not based on you and me, but based on God. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Point number two. It says this, but after long abstinence, where was Paul? Paul was talking with the Lord. God was talking with him. In the midst of the storm, number one, get rid of excess baggage. But number two, get alone with the Lord. Get alone with God. Get as close as you can to Him. Luke 15:20 says, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And look, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Get back to God. Get alone with the Lord. And we feel like this. So this is where I ought to be. And I've wandered. And I find myself in the storm. You think, oh, I got so long to go back. But do you understand that I make that first turn, I take one step, and the Father is running to me. That's what it says. And the Father ran. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Get alone with God. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. If you can put a marker in Acts 27, I really want you to see this. Maybe even make a note. There's some powerful verses in this passage. Psalm 103 and verse 10. Psalm 103 and verse 10, it says this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, look at this next phrase, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Underline that, highlight that, mark that. That's an important truth. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. What happened? A storm hit. Where's Paul? Where'd Paul go? He's alone with God. What a great example to us. In the midst of a storm, what should we do? We should eat a half a tub of ice cream. You should get alone with the Lord. Ephesians 2:13, but now is Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:17, and came in, preached peace to you which were afar off. You know the thing that the person wants most of all when they're in the midst of the storm and away from God? Peace. And he says, those that are far off through Christ can have peace. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. See, the Lord wants to teach you something that can only be taught through a storm. There's principles, there's things you will only learn in the midst of a storm. Why? Because we hold on to our stuff. It takes a storm to get rid of some things. Crisis happens in your life. All of a sudden you find yourself very open to the things of God. The storms of life hit. All of a sudden, the only place you want to be is alone with Him. The Lord wants to teach you something. What does He want to teach you? Dependence on Him. Humility of you. Knowledge of Him. He wants you to trust Him. Remember, our verse of the week is Hebrews 12:1, but 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Get alone with God. Paul, after long abstinence, where was he? Alone with God. Talking with the Lord. He comes back and reports and says, I've just been talking with the Lord. The ship is going to be destroyed, but we'll make it. Blessings are found. Please listen to this thought. Blessings are found with Him and His will, not in our will. Acts chapter 27 and verse 30. Acts 27:30 says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under cover as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Oh, there's a good thought there. Except you're in Christ. Yeah, but it's rocky in the boat, and it's difficult in the boat. Except you're in Christ, you cannot be saved. And Paul tells the centurions, don't let him out. I don't know what they were about to do, about to flee the ship. That would have not been my idea. In verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They said, cut the sails. Why? Because it's pulling us to a place where we ought not to be. Before they just let her go, now they're cutting all of their source of direction. Do you see that? There comes a point in the storm where you're going to have to completely and totally give up. God, whatever it is in this storm, you are going to have to lead us. I am letting go of everything. See, they let her sail, but they still kept the sails up. Now the sails are taken down. Point number three, and our final point, get ready to give thanks. What to do in the storm? Get rid of excess baggage. Number two, get alone with God. Number three, get ready to give thanks. Give thanks in the midst of the storm. They haven't eaten in 2 weeks in here. Verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Haven't eaten in 14 days, fighting a storm. Here, let's have a little something. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. As we continue in verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. I wonder what that prayer was like. Lord, we thank you for this food and this storm. That is not our natural tendency. But the Lord has a way of getting rid of all the peripheral and getting us alone with Him and getting our attention. The Bible says in verse 36, then were they all of good cheer And they also took some meat. Of course they were happy. They're eating meat. How many were on the boat? 276 guys. That's a big boat. Big ship. Right, Grandpa Haight? Ship. Big ship. They were going to let down the boat. They were in a ship. 276 men. Point number three, get ready to give thanks. When you find yourself in the storm, stay with the Lord. He gave thanks in the presence of them all. Hey, it seems like you're going through a rough time in your life. Let me tell you what God has taught me through this rough time. I am so thankful for this time. Can I tell you personally, in our life through these last 10 weeks, the Lord showed us things that I probably would have never seen had it not been my life coming to a complete standstill. Lord, thank you for showing things about me, our family, our relationship, to which I am thankful. Don't forget to be thankful. Your life is in God's hands. Safe landing. As we read the last two verses, verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim. They want to start killing the prisoners because they're about to crash. He said, hold on. No. No one's dying here. From their purpose and commanded that they could swim, should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Whoo! What a ride that was. But yet, escaped all safe to land. Understand that storms have times and seasons. They do not last forever. So what are you seeing in your storm? What have you learned in your storm? What can you help others? How can you help others in their storm? See, without Christ, there is no peace. More than ever before, I don't know if I can say this, but more than ever before, Jesus Christ is needed. If there could be a greater need for Christ in our community, in our society, I think we've always needed Him. But the awareness of our need for Him is all in front of us. If you're not saved, if you're not in the boat, if you're not on the gospel ship, what are you waiting for? Because there are things that only God can give. Jesus is your only answer. 1914, Ernest Shackleton and a team of explorers set out from England to do something that no one before had ever accomplished. Cross Antarctica from one side to the other across the South Pole. I don't know why someone would want to do that. I don't know whose idea it was, but they said, we have it in our blood to explore, and we got the short stick and we got the South Pole. Disaster struck when the team's ship Endurance became entrapped in ice and eventually sank after their hull was crushed. Marooned by nearby Elephant Island, there seemed little hope for their survival. In a desperate effort to get help, Shackleton and five others set out in a 20-foot lifeboat across some of the most dangerous and storm-filled waters in the world. It was an 800-mile journey to South Georgia Island, where help could be found. For 15 days, the men battled the treacherous seas and massive storms with waves of up to 100 feet. Using only a compass and a sextant, Frank Worsley, who had captained the Endurance, navigated their course until they safely reached land and found help. Shackleton procured another ship and returned to rescue all of his men. He became a national hero. You can read about it in the book called Endurance. He became a national hero in England for his courage and persistence. All of us are making our way through a stormy world. And ever since the very first sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind has struggled to make wise decisions. The only way to ensure that we do not go astray is to have an objective source of truth that will guide us. Just as a compass can guide sailors through dark and uncharted waters, God's word can guide us through uncertain and difficult circumstances. I understand you may feel like you're in the storm, but please know that the ways of God are true whether there's a storm or not. We must simply trust it over, listen now, we trust the word of God over our feelings, over our own wisdom, over contrary advice given by others that may even make sense. I believe God. Because the Bible is inspired by God, it is without error, and we can trust it 100%. So in the storms of life, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to get rid of excess baggage. We're going to get rid of those things that don't belong. We're going to get alone with the Lord, and we're going to be quick to give Him thanks for the things that He teaches that can only be taught in the midst of a storm. Hope this is a help and encouragement to you, church. It is good to see you. It's good to sing together. You pray for us as we go forward with all this. On our way out, we have a couple things. We have a little craft for the kids. Brother Primer, are those set up? Great. We have crafts for the kids. We also have envelopes of, if you came Mother's Day, you want to talk about a storm. We have those pictures available that Maddie took, and those turned out great. So make sure you grab that envelope. I'm going to ask, we're going to have our ushers dismiss us by rows and head out, get in your cars, and go home. We're going to pray, though. So let's all stand. No altar call this morning, but if you're without Christ, you call me this afternoon, tomorrow. If you're watching online, you give me a call, you text me, you notify me, you let me know. I will talk to you about having the peace that passes all understanding. The only way to navigate this storm of life and to come out okay is through Christ. The ship may be destroyed, but you'll make it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all that today encapsulates. To be able to come here, to be able to sing, to be able to open up the word together. Lord, thank you for those things. God, thank you in the midst of the storm, we can trust you completely and totally. Lord, forgive us for placing our will over yours. Lord, help us to learn something in the midst of the storm. Lord, I pray that you'd be ever close to us. Lord, we need you more than ever before. Lord, thank you for our church. I love them. I missed them so much. Thank you for this time. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.